I do find myself for once in agreement with you, madam. I once believed that I should dedicate myself to directing barbs against those who are corrupt. Then I discovered that those I had picked as my targets were only insignificant dwarfs, fiddling on the edges of power. True power and the true corruption lie buried far deeper. I know that now.
Let Baron Nelson hear you talking that shit, old man. You're gonna get to be real cold meat before you get your dick out to take a last piss. Baron knows about power, and he's the one that's got it.
Where's the Ville? Vista, didn't you say it was called?
Yep, 7 miles or so downstream.
Might visit it. Pay our respects.
That your boy, mister? He's got your color. He's got your looks.
Yeah, that's my dad.
If he was mine, I'd take a wide course around Vista.
Why? Come on, man, why do you say that?
Just a friendly word. You can take it, you can leave it.
All three men exchanged knowing glances. Andy looked across at Ryan. Seeing the tension in his face, he changed the subject.
Where do y'all come from?
South.
Hired guns?
We do what we do.
Yeah, sure. We hunt all we do and keep away from the Baron's sect men.
If we had these outlanders helping hunt the big grizzly, maybe we could take him quicker and safer.
Yeah, then there'd be 2 full hands. 10 of us!
Lover, if he wanted to count at 21, he'd have to take his pants off.
The true dawn had come and gone. The three strangers had dropped off to sleep, lying where they slumped over by the remains of the fire. Ryan and the others had packed up their possessions and weapons, moving silently. There was a certain attraction in going on a hunt for such a monstrous adversary, but not when it involved crossing the path of what sounded like an especially hostile baron. So, they decided to move on. It was a heaven of a morning. The sky was clear, and there was hardly a breath of wind, just a faint breeze easing in from the far north. The snow glistened in the sunshine, so bright it hurt the eyes to stare at it for too long. The temperature was still well below freezing, but without the wind it felt much warmer than it had the previous day. Ryan was still able to catch the faint, smoky scent of their fire, though the campsite was a good quarter mile behind them. They were surrounded by mountains, and they'd all noticed the problems of being at altitude. Doc in particular was having trouble with his breathing, wheezing. Mildred had guessed that they were probably close to 10 or 12,000 feet above sea level, judging from the effects of the thinner oxygen. The physical results weren't pleasant. Ryan was aware of the blood drumming in his ears, his heart laboring that much harder. And when he took in a deep breath, it felt as if his lungs weren't quite doing their normal job.
Dad?
Yeah?
Why did you tell those three guys that we'd go hunt the grizzly with them?
Think you'd have liked that?
Sure. It'd have been a real hot pipe, wouldn't it?
Maybe.
Why are we creeping away like this?
They'd been up all night. Figured they'd crash out like they did.
Yeah, but, Dad, I never saw a real big bear like this one.
Dean, even something that big could be difficult to track. Region like this one, the grizzly could be holed up somewhere and come out at you when you didn't expect it.
Might take a long while. The river widened as they moved along its ice-bound banks. As the sun rose, it pulled the temperature up with it. Away from the deep shadows, some of the snow began to melt, dripping from the tips of the branches of the pines. The going was tough, with the water flowing into a steep-sided gorge, cascading in bursts of white froth over glazed boulders. There was an almost holiday feel to the expedition, with Doc capering through the powdery snow, packing handfuls of it into wintry grenades and hurling them at Dean from behind trees. The boy gave back better than he got, twice scoring direct hits on Doc's face, splattering him with snow. The path twisted and turned, with visibility never more than 40 or 50 paces. JB had been walking along with Mildred, their arms linked like an old-fashioned courting couple, but he drifted away from her to join Ryan and Christy at the back of the group. Michael had also skipped on ahead, relishing the snowball fight with Doc and Dean.
Ryan?
Yeah? You worrying about there being segment of the Baron around? Could be we'll walk smack into them unknowing, what with the noise of the river and all. JB nodded. He and Ryan had traveled and fought together long enough to have developed an almost uncannily prescient understanding about what the other was thinking.
Could be. I haven't seen any human tracks at all, but the...
The sudden noise that interrupted him was extraordinary, rising way up over the sound of water.
Oh, Gaia! It's coming!
Dean was in the lead, with Doc stumbling at his heels, his mouth gaping open in shock. Michael brought up the rear, his robe flying, bare feet pounding through the snow that carpeted the trail. The grizzly bear was less than 50 paces behind him, but didn't seem to be in much of a hurry, as though it were utterly confident in its own speed and power. It was quite simply the biggest animal that Ryan Cotter had ever seen. The paw prints hadn't prepared him for the massive bulk of the creature. As it lumbered around the bend of the path, heading directly toward them, the ground vibrated. Snow spurted all around it. Breath steamed from its rank muzzle, and gobbets of froth dangled from its jaws. It was more than 20 feet from snout to foot, and stood 6 feet tall at the shoulder as it loped along on all fours. A great hump of muscle rippled between the shoulders, the fur dark and tipped with flecks of silver. Ryan stared into the blood-tinted eyes of nature incarnate.
Chill the fucker!
But nobody could yet manage a clear shot at the charging animal. Dean, Michael, and Doc were directly in the line of fire.
Dark Knight, get out of the way!
Ryan had the bolt-action SSG-70 Steyr rifle ready, the walnut stock pressed hard into the angle of his shoulder. He looked through the laser image enhancer, linked to the Starlight Nightscope, waiting for the moment to open fire. Mildred had drawn her target revolver, the Czech ZKR-551, which was chambered to take 6 rounds of Smith & Wesson 38s. Christy had her snub-nosed double-action Smith & Wesson 640, though its 2-inch barrel meant that it wasn't the best of weapons to stop a giant charging grizzly. Dean had heard the warning shot from JB, and he sidestepped like a quarterback from olden times dodging a rushing defensive lineman, slipping nimbly between trees to the right of the track, out of the line of fire. Michael was struggling, his toughened bare feet sliding in the rutted ice and snow. His head was down, his arms pumping, oblivious to anything that anyone might be shouting to him. Doc was not cut out to be one of life's great sprinters. His eyes protruded, breath rasping in his chest, the altitude making everything much more difficult and painful for him. His cracked knee boots weren't any better than Michael's bare feet, and he slithered sideways, nearly falling. The muti bear was gaining on him.
Get out of the way, Doc!
But Doc had a different idea. Spinning and clawing out his Lama, thumbing back on the hammer and steadying it, he aimed the portable Civil War cannon at point-blank range of the grizzly. Ryan waited for the thunderous boom of the 63-caliber scattergun round that the antique Lama carried, but all he heard was a misfire.
By the throne!
The grizzly didn't break stride, swatting the old man out of its way with a casual flip of one of its front paws. It lifted Doc off his feet, sending him spinning into a snowbank 10 yards off the track. As far as Ryan could see, the old man might have survived, but there wasn't time to check him out. The first shots came from Dean. From his new position among the pines, the boy had a clear shot at the grizzly's retreating flanks. He took the chance to fire 3 rounds from his Browning. But he was out of breath, off balance, and shooting between the trunks of trees. None of the bullets found their target.
Get out of the way, Mike!
Mildred's shot clipped the left shoulder of the rampaging bear. Instead of checking its stride, the monster surged forward, taking everyone by surprise. It thrust out its muzzle and snapped at the fleeing Michael, catching the back of his robe, ripping it from neck to thigh. The young man pulled himself free and dove sideways toward Dean. The bear reared up on its hind legs, its head brushing snow from the higher branches of the surrounding trees, sending a sparkling shroud over itself. Its front legs clawed at the air, while a length of ragged cloth hung from its snarling teeth. There was a clotted patch of fresh blood on the shoulder, where Mildred had managed to wound it. Ryan squeezed the trigger on the Steyr. The powerful round struck the bear high in the chest. A second bullet hit it in almost the same spot, producing a small spray of bright blood that stained the snow around its feet. The others followed Ryan's example and unloaded their weapons on the giant grizzly. The grizzly flailed its paws, snapping branches 30 feet in the air. Blood streamed from 3 dozen wounds, most of which would have proven terminal for any other animal. But it was still on its feet, tottering, its head weaving from side to side. One of Ryan's shots had taken out its left eye, and it wiped irritably at the bloodied socket, as though it were trying to dislodge an errant fly.
What's it going to take?
The rifle in Ryan's hands was warm and empty. There was a noise behind Ryan, and he spun, dropping the Steyr in the snow and drawing the Sig Sauer, fearing that it might be the mate of the dying grizzly. But it was Andy Byrne, Clint Kyle, and Al Vair, all holding their patched-up rifles, staring in slack-jawed amazement at the tableau of Scarlet Death in front of them.
Holy fuck!